Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Top of 34 In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.46, there is an instruction for the Madhyama Vaishnavas. An intermediate or second class devotee called a Madhyama Adhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. Right. So these are so he's worshiping the Lord. So therefore, through the deity, through the name, whatever opportunity he has, he's worshiping the Lord, and he's a sincere friend to all the devotees. Right. So now, in this element of seeing all living entities, right? So he sees the devotees, he's friendly with them, he's very kind to the ignorant who are innocent, right? And then he disregards those who are envious. Right, so disregards. He doesn't make any attempts to disturb them or bother them or somehow another any form of retribution. It's just a matter of they're envious, so you don't spend your time. The point is there's limited time that you can do things, so therefore what time you can give, you know, put that where it'll get the best benefit. So the innocent will be the best place. Right? Does that make sense? As described in this verse, the first characteristic of the Madhyama Vaishnava is his prema for Ishwara, which indicates Sri Krishna, the Lord of all Lords. Furthermore, prema also implies Shuddha Bhakti to Sri Krishna. Right? This is how the scripture Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Purva 1.1.11, defines Shuddha Bhakti. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, favorably and without desire for material profit, or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is pure devotional service. Right? So he's rendering that service to Krishna, but has indicated that it's, because he uses the word prema, then it would be pure devotional service. So Prabhupada mentions Madhyama as the beginning of advanced devotional service. Right? Because at that stage, you're dealing with pure devotional service. Right? It's naishkarmya. Neophyte means sakam. Right, they'll be there. That's the time when you have one's own desires. All these different things are there, so they're worked out at that time. Having worked those out, naturally, the one takes up the pure devotional service. So that's called advanced. Does that make sense? So we see here is that the principle of the devotee is any devotee, even the beginning devotee, is special. He's outstanding because he's taking up devotional service. He recognizes the Supreme Lord. So therefore, all devotees should be dealt with nicely. So it says a sincere friend to all the devotees, not just the Uttamadhikaris or the advanced or this, but everybody. Right? So he deals properly with them. So, okay. Yeah. So the position of the neophyte is special. He's better than even the Karmakandiya Brahman, who's perfect and doing all his activities perfectly, because he's actually realized what Brahminical activities are for, the first worshipping the Supreme Lord. Right? So he's special. But then we consider that amongst the devotees, then it's advanced when one gets to the Madhyama platform, because then we're not dealing with the element of the mixed devotional service. It's pure devotional service. Right? Does this make sense? Right? So because so much of the time we tend to think advanced is only with uttam. No, advanced is at madhyam. Madhyam is a pure devotee. So you could say, of those who are sadhakas, okay, then the neophyte is the lower stage, right? Because that doesn't include prema, right? So then you have the neophyte, then you have the madhyama, and then you have the uttama. But the uttama is, and bhava is still a sadhaka. But there's also the uttama is prema, right? But of sadhakas, then this neophyte's the lowest, right? Now, of pure devotees, then the madhyama is the lowest. Because then you have the madhyam, then you have the bhava bhakta, then the prema bhakta. Right? Does that make sense? So that's where it says that the beginning of advanced devotional service. Because being pure devotional service, that's advanced. Right? That's the principle. Okay, so now that means you're rendering loving service that's favorable to Krishna without a desire for profit or gain from karma or jnana. Right? So it's not that it's without great and without karma and without jnana means that the profit is from karma or from jnana. Right? That's where you get your profit from. Material means it's either karma or jnana. Right? You get rid of karma and jnana, it's not material. Right? Does that make sense? Because there is no void, so that's not an option. So then that leaves bhakti. Right? Okay. The symptoms of bhakti just described are first seen in the sadhana practices of the Madhyam Adhikari Vaishnava and extend up to the level of bhava and finally into the blossoming of prema. Right? So that means pure devotional service will be starting from there. Right? It doesn't mean that the neophyte is not at times rendering pure devotional service. It just means it's not consistent. Right? So maybe a big festival day and you're there and you're doing everything and just really trying to do things nicely for Krishna, not trying to do anything for yourself. So one's functioning on pure devotion. But it may be the next day, one's not exactly. One's at home, you know, it's the day after the festival, getting some time for yourself, doing this and that. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't exactly, so it's not predominant. So that's why it's neophyte, because it's not consistent. When that becomes predominantly consistent, it doesn't mean that there's pure on all, because otherwise, why is prema considered the perfection? The pure devotional service starts here, means prema is the perfection of pure devotional service. So that's why he said, that extends on through. Extend up to the level of bhava and fight into the blossoming of prema. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, it's prominent with the madhyama. Right? And Rupa Goswami, from what I've heard in the Sanskrit, then he defines prominent as being 60%. Right? I mean, we generally like to, in business, it's 51%, then we have a majority. But it's 60%, because then it's obvious. Because 50, you're not quite sure. But 60, then you can say, okay, that's bigger. Right? So 60% means that's there. So that's 60% pure devotional service. 40% may be something else. Right? So what's happening is that 40% is getting less and less and less. Does that make sense? Right? So that means for the neophyte, it's 60% is unstable. It may be 40% stable, but it's not the majority. So he may be a very advanced neophyte, you know, but until it gets to 60, then it takes on the qualities of the madhyama. Otherwise, sometimes he's nice to the devotees, sometimes not. Sometimes he's nice to the merciful to the innocent, sometimes not. Sometimes he's avoids, you know, disregards the non-devotees. Sometimes he deals with them badly, and sometimes he's their best friend. You know, so like this, he does it. And sometimes he deals nicely with the Lord, sometimes he doesn't. You understand? So the elements are there. They're performing devotional service, so they're trying their best to do all that. But it's not always consistent. Consistent meaning at least 60%. Does that make sense?
Yes. When you speak about 60%, it is 60% of the endeavor to perform devotional service.
No, it just means 60% of that you're actually functioning on this platform. Whether you're thinking about it, whether you know the results, whether you're making the endeavor, means all the aspects of Sambandhavideya and Prayojana. Means they're all together, so that 60% you're situated on pure devotional service. So does that make sense?
Maharaj, you mentioned Satkam and Nishkam, so would it be correct to say that Satkam is nimitic and Nishkama is nitya?
You'd say that it's more, but because what you could say is that Satkam means it's mixed with nimitic. It doesn't mean that it is.
Okay.
In other words, there is the element of the proper devotional service. But it's mixed. So there's the pure devotional service and the other. So it's mixed. So we don't call it pure devotional service.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, so sometimes it's for you, sometimes it's for Krishna, sometimes it's for you and Krishna. You know, whichever way, you know, we have various ways to work it out. You know?
Sakam, for the new friend, mixed with
karma, yeah.
With prescribed duty according to his
it's not a matter of prescribed duty, it's wanting the benefit. He's part point, without material profit or gain through fruit of activities or philosophical speculation. Performance of one's duties is what one always does. Right? It means the devotee is always rendering service by performance of his duties. Now, his point is if he wants the benefits, the material benefits from those duties, that's not pure devotional service. Right? Is that what it is? Yeah. That's right.
The Tama state begins from the level of
Bhava. Bhava, yes. From Brahma Bhuta. When you're on the Brahma Bhuta platform, that means liberated. That's when Bhava starts.
And Madhyam?
Madhyama from Nishta. Nishta, Ruchi, Nasakti, that's Madhyam. But at the same time, as you have kind of like, just like Bhava is the blossom, is like the bud of Prema, that you can say Ruchi and Nasakti are kind of like the beginning stages of Bhava. Right? But they the full manifestation is only after, Brahma Bhuta platform, after liberation. Right? Does that make sense? Because still, it's come to that point of intensity where it generates ecstasy. Because before that, it generates taste and attachment. But when it deepens more, it generates ecstasy. Right? So that means without taste, you know, there won't be the attachment and ecstasy. So that's where it begins. Right? But we're saying that the Madhyama platform, pure devotion, begins with Nishta because you're steady. So now it's predominantly steady, you're predominantly this Madhyama platform, so the service is going on regularly. Right? So because of that, then taste can come, because if it's not regular, how will the taste be there? Right? And when we say taste also, we mean predominance. It's not that any people, you join Krishna consciousness because of a taste, but it's just something here and something there. But the point is because the taste of Krishna consciousness is so much greater than material, even one taste is enough to power the process. You know what I'm saying? So if that's so great, imagine if that taste is always there. That's ruchi. Right? And so because of that taste is always there, that generates an attachment. Right? And the attachment is there, that generates then bhava. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Can you distinguish between pure and pure unalloyed?
So pure unalloyed, yes.
Pure unalloyed
No, even pure unalloyed, that basically you're going to see the glimmerings of that. When you get to Apandas in Bhava, you could say, if that means anything. No, not much. Okay, means in Bhava Bhakti you have Shravanadasa, where you hear about, you know, understand your position in the pastimes, what, you know, who you are, what your service is, what you do. Then Varanadasa means you are adjusting with that, right? Because it takes, you know, you have to practice to get adjusted to that's what's your position. It doesn't mean that it takes forever, it just means there's that period. Then the third is called Smarana Dasa. So then Smarana Dasa means you're remembering the Lord. It has that five stages that Rupa Goswami mentions in meditation. Right? It means you're smriti, anusmriti, these like this. And samadhi is the final stage. So, you know, you're generally thinking about Krishna. You're regularly thinking about Krishna. You know, it means another. You're sometimes thinking, sometimes not. Then it's generally there. Then it's quite there. And then it becomes deep. And then it goes into samadhi. So once you get to samadhi, then you could say that point, then you could say it becomes, takes up the pure unalloyed. Right? Because at that point, then you get what's called purva rag, which is the complete attachment. So that will then bring one fully into contact with the Lord and his pastimes. Does that make sense? Right? Because the point is training means you're in Vrindavan, but you're not directly interacting with Radha and Krishna. Does that make sense? I think we'll get into that later at the end of at the end of this book. Right, Dad. Does that make sense? So at that point you could say then your pure and alloyed is like you could say it's actually means, in other words, the idea that you're doing this only for Krishna, that's starting right at the beginning, right? Because Shravana Dasa it attains its maturity in Bhava. But when the devotees tell you you're not your body, you're the soul, you know, we're servant of Krishna, that's the beginning of Shravana Dasa. You've heard that I am that. And then Varnadasa, you're adjusting with I'm servant of Krishna and I'm a devotee and how to position yourself. Right? And Smarnadasa, you're trying to remember Krishna. But in Bhava, then those things become fully manifested. Right? Does that make sense?
So Apandasa is the same as Samadhi?
No. Samadhi is the final the fifth stage of the Smarnadasa. Apanadasa means now that's where you're directly interacting with the Lord under the guidance of the eternal associates.
Okay.
Right? So that you're getting, you're learning all those things. Okay. You know, and then when you come to that platform of actually being completely absorbed, then that brings you to Sampatidasa, which means inheritance. It means now that position is yours. You've inherited what you're supposed to be. Like Prabhupada uses the term about inheriting.
Yeah.
You know, means that it's there, the father's left, so you inherit what's actually. So that's sampatidas, the inheritance. Mm-hmm. That's why that term is used.
Yeah.
Like that. But and that then brings one to prema. And once coming to prema, one will never fall from that position. Right? It means up to that point you could. But generally speaking, falling would be up to before samadhi. You know? That would generally mean the thing. So someone's on the platform of bhava, but he hasn't gotten to samadhi. Because if you're samadhi, then why would there be a distraction? You know, whether it could happen or not. But from what I can understand, you can get up to that point and get stuck there, for it mentions hundreds of births. If you think I'm a great devotee and I'm a guru of Vaishnavas. That's the final, you know, the Mayavadi, it's like I'm God, right? And, you know what I'm saying? Like that. But for Bhava, then it's the subtlety that I am advanced, you know, and I am a guru of devotees. That will keep you in that position. Birth after birth, you know, you'll be an Uttamadikari, but you're not going to go to Goloka that way. You understand? You're going to stay in meditation on, you know, Gokul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why we discuss it so much now, so you don't make that mistake when you get there. Right. Yeah. Yes. Means you can say like that, because the madhyam means he acts in this way. Now whether the realization is necessarily the madhyam platform, but they're at least acting on that platform. Right? And the pure devotional services, they're not trying to get anything else out of it. Why we're saying leaving the element, whether they're on that platform realization, maybe they know Shastra really well. And therefore you know, is better at discussing the philosophy. It might be he just, you know, somebody says something, he just has no idea what to say and wouldn't know how to. So that would be, by Shastric understanding, a neophyte. But it doesn't mean he's not a pure devotee. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, so it may be from there. Or sometimes we see is they're really situated when they're doing devotional service, but then they can get distracted. You know what I'm saying? So then at that moment, then they're not rendering pure devotional service. So the point is that it's kind of flexible, but the point is those qualifications must be there. But the natural thing, according to Pancharatra, is when you take second initiation, then that's supposed to bring you be at the Madhyama platform. In other words, all the neophyte stuff is supposed to be done from when you start up to second. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the natural form of it. Does that make sense? So if one is dealing with these things in the proper way, then it can function that way. But if it's when it's second because everybody else is getting in that, then it may not work exactly like that. Does that make sense? Just they needed a pujari, you know. They needed a cook, so like that. At least they'd make that consideration. Right? Is that okay? Symptoms of bhakti just described are first seen in the sadhana practices of the Madhyama Adhikari Vaishnava and extend up to the level of bhava and finally into the blossoming of prema. Worship of the deity form of the Lord with immature shraddha is the only characteristic of the Kanista practitioner. Right? It means that's the characteristic. Such a person does not display the symptoms of shuddha bhakti, which are anyabhilashita shunyam, free from material aspiration, jnana karmad yanavritam, freedom from the inebriations of impersonalism and fruit of desire, and anukulyena krishnanushilanam, absorbed in the desire to serve Krishna favorably with transcendental love. As soon as the Kanista progresses to manifest these symptoms in the heart, then he is considered to become a Madhyam Vaishnava and thus a genuine devotee. Right? So that's what would make the point. If he has that faith, then that's a pure devotee. You know what I'm saying? So it means you take somebody, he's been a devotee, let's say, 3 months or 6 months. With no money, you send him off to another country, another, you know, area of the country that where there are no devotees, there are nothing, and tell him to open a center, and they go and do it. They just go and find a place, you know, find some place, so go hang out where all the people hang out and, you know, talk and this and that, and then somebody distribute a few books, someone is interested, they give you a place to stay, this, that. You get to get a little money, they, you know, rent some place in some weird part of town. You know, and it's like this, it just goes like that. And so that's a pure devotee. He may not know much Shastra, but he's a pure devotee. You know? Does that make sense? You know. So that's the point, is that that's what we're talking about.
Well, if we take this example further, we can say that the person was functional on path for pure devotion.
Yeah.
But sometimes we see afterwards he may probe.
That's there. But the key is faith.
What I wanted to say that if you go through all those stages that you just mentioned, would it be more stable? Like natural development?
Means with time. It means, in other words, if you stay on that pure devotional platform for a longer period of time, you become more stable. So in other words, he's taking here that faith means you have all the symptoms that are there, but faith is the most important one. So if the neophyte has that kind of faith, that brings him, that identifies him as a Madhyama. Though he may not have had so much of the practice and he may not be so stable, but he has the faith. So that's the most important. So that can also mean if somebody has that stability but not the faith, technically it drops them. Though in form they're steady, their service goes nicely and everything, but they don't really have the faith that, you know, this is going to work.
Now what drops the first one? Why he's dropping that? Why?
Association, New Age, Facebook.
What gave him the place in the first place? Was it
association? Prabhupada's books instead of Facebook. Not worrying about New Age, not worrying about being politically correct, not worrying about fitting in. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. But the point is therefore, if such a devotee who has dropped in that faith comes back, then they're naturally back at whatever position they were at. That's why one always considers that. It's not that, let's say you had a senior devotee who's not functioning in a very dynamic way, and you have a new devotee, the tendency is kind of put them on the same level. But the thing is if that faith comes back in that same way, they're back again at that, leading the movement. All it takes is that adjustment in faith, that's all. Now, according to the things, according to the Vyavaharika, what is the mundane consideration of the social elements? Now, whether devotees are willing to allow them to be involved or not because of their particular, the rules and regulations of the social system of, theistic morality, as opposed to Varnashram, of course. But then you have, whether they can be involved or not, or this or that. But it's social, it's Vyavaharika, it's not spiritual consideration. Does that make sense? So you have many, many things to work with. But faith is the main thing. Does that make sense? The faith may remain, but we could get distracted from the practices. So falling down can also not necessarily mean the faith. It can just be the practice. Right? Or the practice can be there and the faith drops. Right? So that's, one has to see what's there. So the ideal is they both move together. Right? That's what we will take. Yes, that's the proper. And if both drop, they will say, yes, that's the fallen condition. But when one is there and the other is there, then we're not sure where to put it. Because if it comes down to the faith is there, the practice is weak, or the practice is strong and faith is weak, the tendency is to put the practice is good as higher, but it's actually lower. Because it's faith that is the determining factor. That's why Manu mentions the urser that does something with faith is better than the, properly situated Brahmin who doesn't have faith. Right? Because they were saying, the demigods were saying, no, they're equal. Because, it's the reverse of the same thing. Strength in one, weakness in the other. And Brahma said, don't make them equal, because they're not. The one with faith is better. So faith is always the principle. So that's the point here. So the Kanista may be Kanista by his practices aren't necessarily steady, but his faith being on that pure platform, that actually situates him as a Madhyama. Does that make sense? So that's why you'll see strong preachers, but maybe certain aspects aren't so good. But that faith is there, that commitment is there. So that's a pure devotee. So that then defines them as a Madhyama. This makes sense? Right? So that's the whole thing, is all these things are happening at once. So it's just like in Gita, you go through and study karma yoga, then jnana yoga, the mix of karma, jnana yoga, then dhyana yoga, right? All these, but when you apply it, they're all working at once. But you won't understand, we can't discuss the thing all working at once, we have to discuss them separately. So therefore, we discuss the thing separately, but they're all functioning together. Just like we said, the first three stages of bhava have already started when you first contact devotees. Right? If Shraddha is there, those first three have started to develop. Right? Because you understand I'm servant of Krishna, so your identity is there, you're adjusting with the identity, and you're trying to remember Krishna. Right? But they're not very mature. But it's actually bhava sadhana. But because it's not so prominent, it's then called neophyte. Right? When it's more mature, then it's that. Because actually there's only prema. So everything else is just practicing to get the prema. Because bhava is also bhava sadhana. But they're not, when you say a sadhaka, you mean someone who's conditioned. Right? Bhava means you're not conditioned. Right? Though it's still sadhana. So it's in its own category. You just call it bhava. But if you want to be technical, it's bhava sadhana.
External symptom of faith.
A little louder.
External symptom of faith that the person is doing service in all the conditions.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be there. The external system is, you can tell by that, but what we're talking about is actually the faith itself. Because he may be doing it in all conditions because they're very, you know, situated more in the goodness just by their conditioning, so they're very dutiful, they like to do the right thing, they don't want to displease somebody, you know, or, you know, they might see that it's inauspicious to not do it, so therefore they're doing it, or, you know, so I'm saying it's not... That's just a symptom. Then you have to see the other things. The faith is faith. Like Jarabharat, he may have fallen down, but his faith was there. You know, he was a deer, but he had faith. So we would consider him advanced. Right? Does that make sense? So if you bump into any deers that have full faith and full absorption in the Lord, know that they're advanced. Yes.
So we can say that a drop in faith is equivalent to philosophical deviation, drop in practice to sensual deviation?
Can be, but I wouldn't go so far as, I mean, the other ones could be, but I mean, it can also be a drop that it's not even sensual, it's just one's dropped down into fruit of activities, but one's following them very piously. Uh-huh. Like, you know, how you say, devotees are worried about he was quite new, I think 9 months in the movement. The Prabhupada was going to give him sannyas. And he says, that, you know, he's so new, what if he falls down? Prabhupada said, if he falls down, he'll fall down to the mode of goodness. Like that. You know? In other words, he's already practicing everything very nicely like that, but now he's doing it with faith and devotion. So if he falls down, he'll just fall back into being a real nice, properly doing everything guy.
You fall down.
Yeah, that's another thing. I think that was the inferred element that if you fall down, you don't even want to talk about what modes we're doing or what we're dealing with here. Like, I remember one sannyasi was sitting there. He had never talked to Prabhupada about what he had done before he joined or everything. He's sitting there. And Prabhupada was talking to some guests, some life members and that kind of thing. And then he just suddenly said, they give something about, unless you're this and that. And he says, you know, him, his activities were abominable when he joined. He was like, I had a problem.
So the high faith is the main factor making the difference in devotee and non-devotee.
Yeah, because... Yes, and also when we're talking about moving up through Shraddha to Prema, it's actually the maturation of faith, right? There's other symptoms that go along with it, but faith is the main thing. So that's why you see if the faith drops, generally the position and practices drop. But you'll see that there are those who are just very dutiful and motivated. So the faith may drop, but they'll continue doing the same thing, but it's more rare. It means you'd have to have a very pious person to do that. You know, just like if you have a smart Brahmin, whether he's a devotee or not, he'll be doing the same activities. Right? Now it's just whether he's doing a faith in Krishna or not. So that's...
Faith is very subtle, so how can we judge it?
It's,
in ourselves and others.
It just, why it means it's here. Do we see that there's something else other than Krishna? Right? Is Krishna the ultimate goal? Is he developing love for him, and we're his servants, the only actual practical position? Right? Is devotional service the only process? That's faith. So to the degree we're convinced of that, that means to that degree of faith. So that's why we discuss the philosophy, so we're convinced, right? Because we're going through all these other things. And it's, we're dealing with all those things because those are what we have to work about. You know what I'm saying? Those little aspects are... Does that make sense? So they're just dealing with our... So we get convinced and we see the association, their faith. In other words, we hear the philosophy, we see the faith of others, their practices. Like that, we practice ourself. So hearing about it inspires the practicing, inspires, purifies. So all these, they give a, they just give rise to moving forward in the process. So faith is the main thing. But like we said before, is someone may advance if that faith drops, but when they, that faith comes back, they go back to the position that dropped from. You know, so that's why it's not equal. So sometimes it's said, oh, they advanced or they fell down. But the point is, but if they gain that faith, they'll be right back where they were. Right? There's this mundane concept that if they're on that platform, they can never fall down. So they fell down, so they were never on that platform. So even if they do come back, then they actually don't aren't advanced. They're just new. It's not an uncommon way of thinking. But the point is it's just it's the soul's commitment to the process. It's there, it works. It's not. Just like the person's at the temple, he's just walking down the street and then you know sees the Rath Yatra program. He's just walking down the street. He's just a pure materialist. He sees the kirtan. Oh, interesting. Comes along, gets involved, takes some prasad, dances, sings for a while. You know, until he gets up to his street, you know, whatever it is. He was going to walk that far anyway, so might as well, you know, go at the rock. And then, so at that time, he's performing devotional service. You know what I'm saying? And all that, then he gets up to his street in Haribol, and then he leaves, you know, and back to material life. Does that make sense? You know, so the thing is that, you know, that'll never be lost. But the point is it's just a matter, you focus, it's there. You don't focus. That's why festivals are there. That's why sadhana is there, so at least that much of the time you're focusing. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, you're in the temple, you're sitting in front of the deities chanting. It's really a favorable time to think of Krishna and absorb yourself in his name, right? You're sitting at home trying to get the toaster to work, you know, and it keeps burning the toast or it doesn't cook it at all, right? That's a moment you may or may not be thinking of Krishna. Does that make sense? And then the current goes off. Yeah. Right? And that was after you went in the kitchen, the bread wasn't there and it was supposed to be there. Right? Yeah. Yes?
If somebody has faith and they're doing a lot of nice service for so many years and then circumstances change or they're in a different ashram and maybe they're not doing as much direct service, and over time, not having so much appreciation, one's faith gets shaken, and one gets absorbed back again into material consciousness and isn't doing very well, suffering, you know, miserable. And so, is it just a matter of time that that person is put back into good association and has, if they're still sincere, and has, you know, again, like, how much program
of course.
Hearing, then that faith will just come right back.
Yes, yes. Means, let's say we have a piece of iron. We put it in the fire. What happens? Okay, what happens if we take it out of the fire? Gets cold, right. Now, what happens if we put it back in the fire? It gets hot. It's not that once taken out, it can never go back in again. Right? In other words, the concept of eternal damnation, we have to remember, is purely a Christian concept.
So since the soul is eternally anyway, pure loving servant, then that's its natural position. It's gotten out of its natural position, and then it comes back into
That's all. We overlay social considerations on the process. You know, in other words, the considerations of superior and inferior, all these different things, that's within the Varnashram system. That's just for the mechanics because that's how it works. The businessman doesn't tell his workers what to do and they don't follow it. You won't make business. Right? If they tell him what to do and they have to do what he says, it's not going to work. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's done. It's just efficient. It's how things function. Right? But the unfortunate is you have the same hierarchies in the devotional, that's what's practical, but by the element of karma, again, we have a tendency to overlay social prestige on the levels of development. You know what I'm saying? So no one should be called a neophyte, that's just not proper, but no one can be a mudyamid because who's advanced? You know what I'm saying? So it's just this kind of like, you know, social devotional blah that just, you know, whatever anybody wants to do, everybody just smiles and doesn't say anything. You know what I'm saying? That's us. We do that. Like that. Prabhupada didn't do that. We do that. Does that make sense? So they're advanced and they don't have association. Whatever happens, and then they're not. But if they get back into that, the same association and that, good, they'll immediately come back to where they were. They don't go up through the thing like you were going. You know what I'm saying? The point is the iron is cold. It's put into the fire. If you're a devotee, it never actually gets fully cold. So therefore, you put it back in the fire, it heats up so much quicker. You know? Yes?
What happens in the case that one has faith in Guru and Krishna, but commits offenses against Vaishnavas and criticizes?
So that brings out the qualities of the neophyte. You know? So that's the difficulty. So it'll drop one down to that platform. You know what I'm saying? It'll just be, but as we said, is depending on what it is and how prominent it is, it may be that's the 40%. You know what I'm saying? So other things are still doing at quite an advanced level and that, and understandings, but this area is the weak, so that's their weakness. But these are considered the strongest of the weaknesses. Right? Means Kuti Nati, Hridaya Dalbalya, Asat Trishna, and Aparad.
Yeah.
Then Kuti Nati, or criticizing devotees, is the worst. Right? Because it will generate all the other three.
My understanding was by committing serious offenses, then it can be hundreds, you know, maybe thousands, millions of lifetimes before one actually attains the potential.
It depends on what you've done, you know. You know what I'm saying? You leave the pure the pure guru and pure mission to take up following a materialist as a guru and think that it's spiritual, then that may take you millions of lifetimes before you actually ever get the chance to come in contact with actually sampradayic, mm-hmm. you know, devotees again. Mm-hmm. You know, so you do have that element. Mm-hmm. But the point is that, you know, that's why it says one should be careful of the mad elephant, because it just destroys what's there. Anything else is, that's the point, is that the attachment to sensual desires, attachment to the concept of the situations and opportunities, not doing the activity so well, making mistakes in it, like that, these ones don't lessen what advancement you've made. They just don't allow it to go farther. Right? But the mad elephant can actually destroy it down to nothing. You know, so that's why it's considered one should avoid that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Some people just when they practice very fervently and then they fall, when they come back they gain the same stage. Some people just they didn't fall. But with the time their face becomes weaker, though the practice still remains. So sometimes it seems to be better to be away from Krishna consciousness for some to get enthusiastic again.
No, it's not a matter of that. It's not that the unfortunate is never good. So both of those are the unfortunate situation. The best thing is to always remain, you know, in proper association with that proper determination. You know? Because otherwise, then it's okay to, you know, fall. No, it's never. None of these things are okay. The point is you can take advantage, because there are those who fall down and go away from Krishna consciousness and don't come back. And don't have their faith, and you know, end up, you know, doing something else. You know what I'm saying? Joining other you know, groups and stuff like that. So it's not that it's, oh, well, that's better. It's just, you know, it worked out. But that's the power of devotional service, not the power of material life. You know, material life is so powerful that if you go back into it, then it'll inspire you in Krishna consciousness. No. What's inspiring is that you've gotten into the material life, and then when you do come in contact with devotional service, because that faith is there, you see what the difference is, and you think, what have I been doing all this time? You know what I'm saying? So that's the... Does that make sense? So one never takes that as an option. Because then we're saying karma produces gyan, bhakti. No, it doesn't. You know, you just refreshed your memory on how the material world's not nice. That's all. And the other one is that he's not quite so sure that it's not. He knows it's not nice, but, you know, there are some elements of it that aren't so bad. So it's always to take advantage of good association. As soon as the Kanista progresses to manifest these symptoms of heart, then he is considered to have become a Madhyama Vaishnava and thus a genuine devotee. Prior to this, he is a Prakriti Bhakta, also known as a Bhakta Abhash or Vaishnava Abhash, a neophyte shadow of a Vaishnava. The word Krishnanushilanam refers to Krishna Prema and is qualified by the word Anukulyena, favorably. Thus, this combination refers to practices that are conducive to the growth of Krishna Prema. These are, as we have said, Maitri, friendship with one's fellow devotees, Kripa, mercy to the ignorant, and Upeksha, indifference to the inimical, which are also the hallmarks of a Madhyam Adhikari Vaishnava. Right? In other words, those are what's favorable, so that's why they're practiced. But it also, they're the symptoms of someone who is thus situated. Yeah? Okay. Yes, move on. I always find it fun when we go over some really bombshell and just everybody either doesn't notice or everybody stays really quiet. Okay. Now to the topic of the second characteristic. The friendly attitude of the Madhyama Vaishnava adopts towards his fellow surrendered devotees of the Lord, those who are blessed by Shuddha Bhakti. Right. So now it's within the devotees, there's discrimination. So he's discriminating against, discriminating within what is, you know, that love for the Lord, the affection for the devotees, the kindness to the innocent, and the avoiding, or just, you know, being indifferent to the inimical. But within devotees, then that respect for the seniors, that friendship with the equals and the kindness to juniors, is the same principle, right? Like that. Now to the topic of second characteristic, the friendly attitude the Madhyama Vaishnava adopts towards the fellow surrendered devotees of the Lord, right? So that first one was about pure devotional service. So if that's there, then that automatically the other things come, right? The Kanista Vaishnava is not on the platform of Shuddha Bhakti. That is to say, he does not serve and satisfy the pure devotees. Therefore, Maitri can only be properly extended by the Madhyama Adhikari to his fellow Madhyama Vaishnavas and the higher level Uttama Vaishnavas. Service to the Vaishnavas should be in accordance with their respective levels of advancement. The word Maitri encompasses association, discussion, and service. Right, so in other words, what is the level of advancement is how you associate. So that means association, discussion, and service. When one sees a Shuddha Bhakta, one must greet him and offer respects immediately, give full hospitality affectionately, discuss Krishna conscious topics with him, and care for all his needs. One should serve him properly in all these ways. One must be extremely cautious not to envy a Shuddha Bhakta. He should not be shown irreverence or criticized even inadvertently, and he must not be disregarded because of some physical deformity or ailment. So one has to be careful of this, because otherwise we have so many difficulties of what we have decided is devotional service, or what is the manifestation, right? So means if you have money, then that's not good, right? It's not a sign of advance, it's a sign of attachment. But at the same time as the grihastha, you know, it's not because he's a grihastha, he can't be an advanced devotee. Right, grihasthas, they take everything, engage everything in Krishna's service and all that. Right, but renunciates can't do that. Right, does that make sense? So, you know, it's one position of that. Or position of, it means management or control. Right, the grihastha, he has control, he has all these different things, but the renunciate can't. So if the renunciate is, it's a symptom of he's not advanced in devotional service. But if the grihastha, it's not an impediment. Does that make sense? You know, or he may be very good in one area, but not necessarily in another. Right? You know, he's, you know, his kirtan or his class or that's really, but he's a little trippy when it comes to prasad or, you know, sleeping or his medicine or, you know, so there's something that seems to be a little bit. But the point is these aren't to be, these are not, one must be cautious, it said, you know, whatever it is, because the point is if it was completely perfect. Completely perfect, called prema. Right? So if it's not prema, then there's something that's not quite there yet. Yes.
Yeah. If you have an advanced devotee in the position of spiritual master, and he gives you some instructions in the form of advice that you are unable to follow, do you go with them? You know, in their attachments, so you don't see the things as they are. And it's not on this, maybe on the spiritual level of following, but on the material platform. Like how you should manage, how you should do this, how you should do that, how should you react.
Then you just go back and just say it doesn't work. That's all.
Maharaj, inadvertently, in this context, does that mean internally?
Inadvertently means you don't mean to, but you criticize. You know, you make these, you know, kind of wry, sophisticated, you know, I'd say, Western jokes on people. Like, sometimes they're a bit critical, you know. Or sometimes we're just playing, but, you know, we're taking some point and harassing that. But why would we choose that point unless there was something there that we're feeling? Either we have an attachment for it or we feel they have, you know what I'm saying? So inadvertently we might, you know, or just not knowing how we respond in etiquette, we might behave badly. In other words, one needs to be very conscious. The third practice of the Madhyama Vaishnava is the bestowal of kripa upon the ignorant. The word balisha implies an ignorant person without spiritual knowledge, or an idiot, fool, etc. Like, however many nice names you have, you know, like that. Probably those terms, any language, they have the maximum amount of terminology for. You know. Gross, uneducated materialists whose false ego and strong material attachments do not allow them to cultivate shraddha to the Supreme Lord are balisha. Balisha are without correct spiritual guidance, yet fortunately they are uncontaminated by false philosophies such as impersonal mayavad. Thus their saving grace is that they have no antipathy towards bhakti or bhaktas. Right? They just don't know about it, they never thought about it. So they come across, hey, okay, that sounds reasonable. You know, like that. Even a so-called highly learned scholar who has of yet failed to achieve shraddha in the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be accurately characterized as balisha, ignoramus. Another one. Right? Because you know so many things, but you don't know about the Lord. How can you be considered actually educated? You know? In addition, there is the Kanista Adhikari. Though he is at the doorstep of bhakti, he he lacks the proper grasp of sambandha jnana. Thus, he is deprived of shuddha bhakti. As long as this condition persists, he is also known as balisha. Right? The Madhyama Vaishnava must deal graciously with the balisha as he would do with an honored guest. But this is not enough. To show real mercy to the balisha, he must ensure that the balisha develops shraddha in pure devotional service and a taste for chanting Hari Nam. Right? So we see it means here is that in the definition, then instead of separately dealing with the neophyte, because he dealt with how he's going to deal with equals and superiors, right? Because he's a shuddha bhakta, how he's going to deal with shuddha bhaktas. Now, it doesn't say the shuddha bhakta whether he's a madhyam and uttam or on prema. It's just he's in shuddha bhakta, right? So he deals with him in that way. So, but then who's outside of that? So then, but he didn't describe in friendship, he didn't describe the neophyte, right? But balisha means that he's somehow or another false ego, material attachments, they just don't cultivate this shraddha that develops shuddha bhakti, right? So either they haven't started at all or it's not so developed. So then they're kind to them, right? Sorry. In other words, even though everyone missed the bombshell on the previous page, it's coming back on this page. You're not going to get away from it. Did we catch the bombshell? The bombshell is neophyte devotees are in bhakta bas. They're not technically devotees. That's the actual point. They're not technically devotees. Pure devotional service, that's a devotee. But a neophyte is technically not a devotee. But they're in your best stage of this balisha because they have the faith to take up the practices of it, though they haven't obtained it. Does that make sense? So therefore, in being kind to the innocent, it means also the neophyte. But because they're practicing pure devotional service, so they may not have taken it up, then the interactions in that are the same as the pure devotees. Right? So they're in a unique position. Right? Because the innocent who are completely ignorant of it, you may not spend so much time with. You preach and this and that. But those who are taking up the process, who develop the shraddha, right? Then they're going to get the same advantages of the same association. Does that make sense? But so by that, they'll very quickly come to that platform. Right? Because as we said, all it is faith. That's all it is. You have that faith when it's come to that platform. Does this make sense? So therefore, then it is dealt with in this way. Does that make sense? So you have that two levels of the innocent. Because you have the innocent who's not a devotee, and then he'll be interested, okay, but he'll take it up how much he has. But the point is he may have very little agyata sukriti. Right? But the person who's taken it up, he has a great amount of agyata sukrita, so that's why he's developed that shraddha. So you have the balisha that doesn't have the faith, and the balisha who has the faith. Because what they're saying here is that pure devotional service is the standard of devotional service. Does that make sense? So anything below that means the faith is not enough. But the point is, if someone has that faith, he moves forward. Does this make sense? Right? So it's not, but then you also have to put this into the context of if someone's not a devotee, then even if they're, like he mentioned here, the great priest and great Brahmin, they're still not as good as the neophyte devotee. The neophyte devotee, because he's accepted the Supreme Lord and the devotional process, then he's superior to all of them. You know what I'm saying? So it's showing that one should take very seriously the concept of pure devotional service and should not waste one's time playing around with trying to find some nice adjustment with the material nature and saying it's okay. You know, we're just being practical. We're just fitting in. You know, oh, it's not so bad. Oh, don't be fanatic. These are all things that keep you a neophyte. All right? Because if we say neophytes is great, she's up this, we'll go, hey, I'm a nice sister. Leave me alone. So you have to point it out that they're better, so therefore you'll deal properly and follow all the Vaishnava etiquette. But at the same time, then there's this that viewpoint that then points it, but still, it's not solid. Because of material distraction desire by habit, one may tend to think it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Which in a contemporary environment is pretty much the norm. Anything, you know, that's material but not considered by the Western mindset sinful is okay. Rather than, is it pure devotional service? Is it pleasing to Krishna? I do whatever I want. Okay, I can engage in Krishna service. Okay, but is it favorable to Krishna? Are we doing it to please Krishna? You understand? So if we have the focus that pure devotional service is actually the standard, then we'll be always judging it in light of that. If we don't, then we take Bali Shah as standard, then we'll say it's okay. You know, don't rock the boat. Don't be fanatic. Hey, we're all, you know, this and that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So therefore, you have these two basically perspectives that we see brought out, you know, in their purports of Baladev and of Vishwanath. So Baladev brings out that if it's connected to Krishna, it's perfect, right? And so therefore, be inspired, move on, and everything like that. Move forward like that. You can, like that kind of thing. Vishwanath is taking the platform. Prema is the standard. Anything below that is you haven't made it yet. So therefore, keep at it until you get there. Don't ever think that it's good enough. I'm doing okay. Right? It's always, okay, I'm doing okay now, but it could be improved.
Always building the intensity.
Yes. Always, you know, in other words, both are ways of inspiring. Right? One's using the emotional, one's using the intellectual. So they're both valuable. So he's saying here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is using both of those positions. Right? Because here is that we're talking pure devotional service, but at some point we're going to be talking about what's prema. So we have to acknowledge that pure devotional service is the standard. Right? Now there's the lower level, the Madhyama, but the Madhyama, that's where it gets serious. Because he takes these three practices very nicely. Right, he worships the Lord. He associates with devotees. He is kind, and he avoids those where it's bad association. So because of that, he advances very quickly. The neophyte doesn't take those so seriously. That's why he doesn't advance so quickly. So if he takes it seriously, then he's a madhyama. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It's not you have to pass some exam or you know. Do something, you know, run 10 miles, you know. It's just, all you have to do is have that faith that this is what works. And that automatically puts you in that advanced stage. Does that make sense? So it's accessible to everyone. So that faith that this is what it does, right? Then it's what makes it work. It's what makes it, gives it power. This thing. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, it's said that one has taken up the process, that's perfect. But never think that just having taken up the process, that's then the perfectional stage. You understand that? So that's why this one viewpoint is very rarely used. Only when you're getting very technical it'll be brought out. You'll never see it again in the book. Because it's not a point you emphasize. Because it's not important. It's only important to understand is the beginning stage is okay. Like say the person has joined, you know, the company, and so now he's in the introductory course, right? It'll be a 3-month course. They're introduced to everything like that. Now, as far as getting into the company, it's the best situation. But they're not actually in the company, you know. So if they just think back, I don't have to progress beyond this introductory stage. I can just stay in this stage forever, you know, and I'm part of the company. It's like, no, you're not. You understand? But the normal thing is the person sees what it is they want, which is pure devotion, and therefore goes through it very nicely, enthusiastically to get there. And so therefore in 3 months they cross through that and then they become part of the main company. Does this make sense? So that's why it's described in that way, just in case one thinks, it's okay, leave me alone, don't bother me. Okay, then you don't. But it shouldn't be said that, well, no, but we're all the same. No, it's not. It's not the same. The difference is in the faith. You don't have faith, it's not the same. That's what that Krishna says, that that devotee who has that faith but is in a fallen condition, he's still a sadhu. Why? Because the faith is there. Right? Krishna is not saying he's fallen down and he's just a nonsense. But it's not like Arjuna is trying to say, okay, he fell down, but now he's not in the fallen state. He fell down, but now he stopped doing those bad things. So now he's a sadhu. Krishna says, no, he's in that fallen state. He's still a sadhu. Why? Because he has faith that devotional service is the only process. But somehow or another, he is sadly involved in these activities he shouldn't be involved in. He knows he shouldn't be. You understand? So he said, because the faith is there. So the faith is the actual point. So if that faith is there, then everything works properly. Right. You have something? Yes.
Maharaj, there's been an incident where a Balisha has experienced like a negative experience through another devotee.
Right.
And so what this person has done is basically thrown out not only the container, the bucket, but also the halava.
Yes.
How do we know how much to invest in this place?
How much you see you get response. Means, in other words, if you get response, then you put in more energy. And if not, then you wait a little bit and try again after. You know, it's just like if somebody's really upset, maybe you can talk now, maybe you let them cool down a little bit, then try again, you know? In other words, you just see what's the response. That's the whole principle. If they respond, you deal more. If they don't respond, then you wait. You know, like that. That's all. So just make sure you present the hull of it and not the container.
It says that the faith comes from the faith.
Faith comes from faith, yes.
Yeah, but to get the faith, is it necessary that person should have enough fortune that he's getting?
Enough fortune. What do you mean by fortune?
Fortune is because in previous life he did some pious activities.
But pious activities, what do you mean by pious activities?
Serving the devotees.
Okay, means if you're meaning devotional piety, then yes, it means when that builds up, you get faith. So we don't know how much of this we've done previously and everything. You know, why is it we just happen to be walking out of, means we normally walk out of our, you know, out of our work at this time every day. And therefore, every day we miss the devotees. But somehow or another, today something happened that we walked out a little later and they just happen to be going by. Why does that happen? You know, it could go on the other way forever, right? I'm sure that there's tons of people who live around the corner from the temple and don't even know it's there, right? So why is it? Because they've done devotional activity before, right? So therefore, it's that faith develops. So your idea is those who are innocent, who don't know, you try to give them that association, that opportunity for Agyata Sukri, right? And then, depending on the individual and the intensity, then they respond. You see, some people you come in contact and immediately they get interested. And other people, you know, it's nice and it's years and years go by before they ever kind of like get a little more serious. So it's just a matter of the volume. And also just, you know, themselves, how much it looks interesting. If the material world still looks good to them, then they won't be as interested. The material world doesn't look as good. Right? Does that make sense? You know, if we notice that you have the person who is, you know, has a problem for money, he may turn to God. Person with anxieties, he turns to God. Person who's, you know, anxiety about knowledge, he turns to God. Like that. It doesn't say necessarily, you know, fat rich people with plenty of money and everything's going their way turn to God. Right? It says these four kinds of pious people surrender. There's other kinds of pious people, but these ones surrender. Do you understand? Does that make sense? Yeah, so like that. Yes.
There is a relation between increasing faith into emotional life and decreasing into material.
Means you're increasing into spiritual life. When you're decreasing, as long as it's not offense to the devotees, it just means it's being covered. that faith is being covered. You're forgetting about it. Because when you uncover it, it comes back to what it was. Because if it just decreased, then, you know, when it starts, it would start off and go through the process again. Right? But it immediately comes back to whatever it was before because it was just covered. Right? Material desires is just like the living entity is just covered. Devotional service is the natural position. In other words, the soul has advanced himself, though he was in a covered state, and so he wasn't. Now he's, you know, come to his natural position, he's advancing, but if that comes covered again, then again, it appears as if he's just like any other materialist, but he's not. Right? Someone is a devotee who's not practicing, they're not like anybody else. They're different, even though they look the same. They'll never be the same. Right? They're a soul who's taken up devotional service. They'll never be the same. Like that. You just can't, because you know. Others, when things go wrong, that they think, well, maybe we could do this. But the one who's devoted, no, you can't. It's just that's the way it is. So it's just a matter of so many years of reconfirming what he already knows, and okay. You know. Does that make sense?
And if we have sambandha again, let's become mature.
More. Yeah, it just makes it even more. So it just means if they want to be materialistic, it makes them more miserable because you have too much knowledge to be materialistic. You know, you have to be a bit ignorant to be, you know, that's why they use the word ignoramus. You have to be. You know stuff, you just can't quite do what the others do. It's just, yes.
When we are preaching Krishna consciousness to others, we see that some people accept it very quickly, while some people, you know, they don't take to Krishna consciousness. In the sense, taking the process seriously, chanting Hare Krishna, committing.
Yes, right, right.
And sometimes also there is a tendency by people, especially in India, people say, probably I don't have enough credits that I can take up this process seriously.
Yeah.
They say that.
Yes, so, it's true. But the point is, do you want the credits or not? Just like the guy does not have enough money to invest in his new idea. But does he just say, well, I don't have the money, that's all. Hey, you know, want to go to lunch? Or does he endeavor to get it? That's the point. So what you want, you make the endeavor for. You know, well, when Krishna calls, then I'll go, like that. But your wife called and you went, you know. Or even she didn't call, you went. You know what I'm saying? So many things you do, no one asks you to do it. You know what I'm saying? So why is it only this one, then it's up to God, he has to, you know, come knocking on the door. And even if he did, you probably wouldn't recognize him. You know? Does that make sense? In addition, there's the Kanista Adhikari. Though he is at the doorstep of bhakti, he lacks the proper grasp of sambandha jnana, right? That's why Prabhupada wanted us to study. That's why he put into the program. Because he didn't have a regular program. Everyone had the books. He expected they would read them. But they didn't. Only Satsarup Maharaj read them, right? So therefore, then when in 1980 they had some difficulties... No, it's 1970. Had like that with philosophy. Devotees didn't know what to say, right? It didn't shake the faith, but they didn't know what to say at all. So therefore, Prabhupada then instituted a program in which there was daily study of the books, like that. Because that thus is deprived of Shuddha Bhakti. So if you understand properly, I'm the soul. I'm not the body. I'm servant of Krishna. Krishna is God. Right, the material energy is Krishna's energy. It's inferior energy, right? The goal in life is to develop love for Krishna, and the process is through the chanting of the holy name, right, in the association of devotees, right? So chanting, hearing Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, living the holy dham, right, worshipping Tulsi. You have faith in that. That is proper sambandha jnana, right? So if one can apply that in all spheres of your life, you have perfect sambandha jnana. But if there's areas of your life you can't apply it, that's why we study. Because all the Shastra is discussing is these three points only. I'm the soul, Krishna's God, I'm his servant, developing love for God, you know, serving is the perfection, and the process is through devotional service. That's the only three things that are discussed anywhere, at any time in the scriptures. All it is they're getting to more and more details. So if there's a detail that you get distracted by materially, therefore you study the philosophy so that you're not distracted by it. Right? So that means someone who first comes in contact with Krishna consciousness can develop that sambandha jnana and develop that faith to actually engage in the process. Right? So that was the question you're saying. What it means before. You said that someone saying that, you know, you see sometimes that devotees earlier days they would have that kind of commitment because they had that sambandha jnana. Nowadays, how focused is it that this is what we're supposed to be focused on? You know? You understand? So therefore the sambandha jnana isn't so strong. There's a lot of knowledge, but it's not strong. Strong means that faith and commitment, not the volume. Right? Does that make sense? So just a little bit that you're committed to, that'll work. Right? And then by association, we learn more and more. And the advantage, even if we don't need it, others need it. So when you're preaching to them, they'll take advantage of it. Right? As long as this condition persists, he is known as Bali Shah. Right? So when sambandha jnana is not there, therefore the faith is not strong, then that's Bali Shah. So on one platform, you can say, depending upon how you're defining it, your general devotees generally are on the Madhyama platform because they have that faith, they have that commitment, they follow these things, they preach and that. But as we said, it's not necessarily perfect. You know, as we said, if its majority is that, it works. But that part that's not the majority, then you'll see faults. But that's why one shouldn't look for faults. For those who are committed. Right? If you're in a position to help, yes, but if you're just making a comment, who needs comments? Right? The Madhyama Vaishnava must deal graciously with the Bali Shah, as he would do with an honored guest, but this is not enough. To show real mercy to the Bali Shah, he must ensure that the Bali Shah develops Shraddha in pure devotional service and a taste for chanting Harinam. Right? So that's why the association, you develop that understanding, you develop that taste. Right? Because the understanding is the intelligence, the taste is the mind. The Bali Shah may be easily diverted from bhakti at any time, his consciousness being clouded with misconceptions. Therefore, he must be given the compassionate care of an expert physician who tolerates the expected misbehavior of his patient. Right? So that's why that humility and tolerance is there. That's where the Vaishnava etiquette starts. Not expecting, offering respect to others, not desiring respect or expecting respect. Why does that point make? Why just one is enough? I respect others. But you're in a position to deserve respect, but you don't get it. Right, so that's the case. The Madhyama dealing with a neophyte, or dealing with just the innocent, right, then is not going to be dealt with according to what their actual position is. But they offer respect because they're an individual like this and that. That's how you preach. Right, the preaching successful not by how you're respected. The preaching successful by how you respect others. Does that make sense? By administering his compassion and spiritual instructions, the Madhyama Vaishnava can correct the wrong views of the Kanista Vaishnava and promote him to the level of a Madhyama Adhikari, pure devotee. This practice of mercy is essential for the Madhyama Adhikari Vaishnava. Right? So in other words, to be situated, the point is the faith is strong. The Madhyama Adhikari may also have some misconceptions, but they're minimal and it's not affecting the faith. Does that make sense? Now we come to the fourth quality, upeksha, indifference, neglect, and avoidance of those who are envious. Firstly, an envious person has to be defined, and all the different types of envious persons have to be delineated, right? Otherwise, you can call anybody envious, right? Dvesha, enmity, is a human trait, also known as matsarata, envy and hate. This heinous propensity is the exact opposite of prema. The Supreme Lord alone is ultimately the sole recipient of prema. antipathy against the Lord is known as dvesha, of which there are five kinds. Right? In other words, one doesn't means prema is the natural position of dealing with the Lord, not dealing with prema or antipathy. That is going to be what is dvesha. That's what we're talking about here. Right? Because we mentioned the Bali Shah means they haven't thought about it. Right? They're not, God may be there, maybe not there, it's not a problem for them. It's they have other things to do. So they're quite busy. Okay, so now what are those five kinds of dvesha or enmity? One, not having faith in God. Right? Belief that the Supreme Lord is nothing more than a natural potency of the creation, which automatically brings about the results of one's karma. Right? So that means not having faith in God, just he doesn't exist. Or like the Karmakandis and others, he's just part of the creation, and he has to take care of these things and everything. Right? So Karma Mimamsa is in this category. Right? In other words, why you haven't seen us, making, there's not a, smart Brahmin preaching program, because that's this group, right, If they come around, hey, because there's plenty of smartas have joined the movement. But we don't make inroads into their system. It's not like prison preaching or something. Three, not believing in the transcendental form of the Lord. So that's going to be a problem, right? You haven't thought about it, you explain it, okay. But if it's like, no, he can't have a form, right? So they're your Mayavadis. Right? Because Mayavadis don't have faith in God, just he doesn't have a form. And we're all God. Why wouldn't I have faith in God if I'm God, right? I have faith in myself, so. Does that mean? Not accepting the position of the jiva as an eternal servant of the Lord, right? Because then it means you're going to go to heaven, you're going to enjoy, or you're going, it means the Karmakandi is thinking like that, so he's just the enjoyer, right? Or he's like in the Shankya, materialistic Shankya, then he's the one who's actually making material nature work, right? He becomes the Lord, right? So so many aspects. And five, the absence of mercy. Right? How should the devotees deal with such envious persons? It is recommended one should avoid their company. Upeksha, however, means neither that one should put a stop to all the usual human exchanges. That's the point is there. It's not that, he just indifferent. That's why the word indifference is made. Because if the normal human exchanges, that he does. Nor that one should refuse to help such bewildered persons. Right? Means if there's an opportunity, you try to help. But if it doesn't work, you don't. Or if it's just an ordinary thing, then you help. The old lady wants, some help across the street. But, she's, the chairman of the avowed atheist society. Right? But whatever. She needs to get across the street. You help, right? When you get to the other side, then you go, you part ways. Right? Yeah. Upeksha is to terminate all spiritual exchanges with the atheists, not social exchanges. Right? Social exchanges are just standard. That's why in the Vedic society there's one culture. There may be many philosophies. Right? Somehow or another we have one philosophy, many cultures. Like that. Whatever. So the idea is that the Vedic, that's the thing, is that you go into anybody who says that they're following the Vedas, they'll deal with you in the same way. The hospitality, the interaction, the exchanges are a standard. It doesn't matter what state, what social strata, it's always the same. Like that. So that's the thing. But philosophically, they may have some slight differences of opinion. Like that. Social exchanges are part of the human behavior, so that's why you're trying to create a common one, right? You can't create one that's, if you're working within purely within the mundane where everybody does whatever they like, how do you find a common ground? You know what I'm saying? Of course, if we want to be realistic, the Americans, naturally, automatically, the obvious solution, right? But somehow or another, every other country in the world doesn't seem to think that, You know? And of course, the French have the sophistication, so at least on the political platform it should be them, and technology, the Germans or the Finnish, some like this, like that, Japanese will throw their lot into that. But the point is Varnashram is the only one that's above that can actually apply to everybody, because it connects directly to the Lord, right? Does that make sense? It's something you can directly connect, because all the activities are favorable. Does that make sense? While in the other society, so much you have to clear back. And what you clear it back to, actually, is the points within Varnashram. They're just not scientifically ordered. Right? So who does what and who can do what, it's just not scientific. Does that make sense? So that's why it's recommended. But it's only recommended so there's a common social background in which everybody can interact. That's all. And if you apply it, the interactions on those who don't follow it, they still are happy. Right? Because you're very nice, take care of everything, and this and that. They'll always be impressed. Social exchanges are part of human behavior, so the envious person should be dealt with, but without getting into deeper involvement or emotional relationships with them. Right? So, fortunately, on the Western, that's easy. Right? That's given. It means even if you wanted to go, they wouldn't know how. Right? In contrast, for spiritual practice, serious commitment is mandatory, and spiritual association with one's fellow devotees means to interact upon the spiritual platform by discussing transcendental topics, serving and assisting one another in spiritual progress. Thus, one should avoid the association of persons with whom such spiritual practices are not possible or suitable. This is upeksha, right? So in other words, social dealings are normal, but spiritual dealings just aren't happening. Right? In other words, some of these devotees, how do I have to go, home, or I have to visit the parents, or I have to go to a marriage? So the point is, all the social things are done. It just don't get too intimate, don't get too close. But spiritual, you just avoid. That's all. Does that make sense? That's all. Discuss what's in the news, what's for dinner, like that. That's all. Thus, in accordance with scriptural injunctions, the prime duties of a Madhyama Adhikari, Shuddha Bhakta, are to cultivate love for the Supreme Lord, friendship with pure devotees of the Lord, compassion for the innocent, and aloofness from the envious. The degree of friendship that the Madhyama Bhakta establishes with other Bhaktas at this level should correspond to the level of their devotion. So, in other words, how much is theirs is how much is reciprocated. Similarly, the degree of compassion he bestows upon the ignorant will depend upon the sincerity and state of knowledge of that innocent person. So the more, the greater. So even we mentioned there, counting the neophytes as Balisha, so the more that they have, the more is established, the more is interacted. They're more interested, that faith is greater, that then there's greater association. It's less, then it's less. Like that. Yes.
We see that a consideration for preachers sometimes is that, okay, this preaching group is too easy. They're pushovers for Bhakti. I need to go to where, the mercy is more required over here with those who are more resistant to Bhakti in this country or in this region.
And then once you've made them into it and now they're easy, then you drop them. And then that's considered... Okay, then just say, as I'm comfortable making people devotees, but not actually cultivating them to be devotees. Because the point is, as you made them a devotee, that's a big deal. But then you have, from that point of Shraddha up to Prema is left. So you can't say, my work's done. So, therefore, say, I'm comfortable making devotees, but not in nourishing devotees. That's all. So then, yeah. But the point is then he should be comfortable to see that others are doing that. But otherwise, if he thinks, if I just make them devotees and the whole process is done, then he hasn't quite understood. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter about what's tough, what's easy in that. Just do your duties. It's always going to be tough. There's always something like that. But you know what I'm saying? Because it's just a mundane consideration. Because it's that, I can do better, I can do special, so therefore I do the tougher. Let the other guys who are, let them do the easy ones. It's a mundane consideration. The point is it says whoever you see, whoever you meet, you speak to them. So if you like preaching that particular group, you know how to preach to that tough group, while others can preach to the ones who are easier. That's a thing, because so therefore you situate. But if you meet someone who's easy enough to preach to, then you preach to them anyway, because you bumped into them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it's like people preach according to their nature anyway. You preach to those, and it'll respond by those who. So it works out. But it shouldn't be considered that that's superior and you're more merciful. Because the point is okay, that's mercy up to this point, and then what? What about mercy, you know, continuing? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But if you have ideas how to preach to that group that others don't, then do it. That's nice. Because mm-hmm. others don't. So if you're thinking about that group and how to deal with that group, that's very nice. Mm-hmm. But don't think it's superior. No, that's maybe the superior engagement for you, but it's not in overall the superior engagement. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaur Premanand.